What's up, campus? You guys happy to be back together? It is it's very good to see you all. It's great to be back together. It feels just encouraging to be together and see faces I've not seen in a while. I love the start of a new semester, getting back together. It's exciting. Spring 2017. 2017. It's crazy. It's here. It's happening. Spring 20, I put 2016. Spring 2017. You can't live in the past. I need to move on. The truth is I edited the one from the fall and I changed spring, but not 2017. I should have noticed. You guys get it. Spring 2017. I'm just going to get rid of that. That's still true right there. That's good. Well, I hope you guys had great winter breaks. It's like a month or so. I know some of you might feel like a lot's happened. Some of you might feel like not a lot's happened. Some of you might feel like Bradley just looks way older than the last time you saw him, which for him, it was a tenth of his life. You know, winter break was, that was a big chunk of time for him, you know? So he's crawling. He's got some hair now. He's no longer a bald baby. And that's good. He had a great Christmas and playing with boxes and stuff like that, ripping open paper, and it was a lot of fun. And so it was a good Christmas, good winter break. I hope you guys enjoyed the quiet time packet, if you got to do that. And I love the encouragement stockings. Did you guys enjoy opening those?
Yes.
You know, Christmas morning, just having this stocking full of encouragement. I love that. I want to do that again. New Year's Eve parties and different stuff going on. I know we had a great worship midweek last week. And just lots of exciting stuff going on. The past couple Fridays have been good bonding for the men and women split, praying together, then playing together a little bit. So here we are in a new year, and I think it's starting in an exciting way. You guys excited for the new year?
Yes.
It'll be good. Tonight, I want to give you guys a run through of what will kind of be going on this semester. Just some of the overall plans and as well as just get back into the book of Acts. So you guys excited to get back into Acts?
Yes.
Back into Acts in. It's like action. Just thought of that now, so I didn't get to practice it ahead of time. Back into action. So let's go over some stuff for this semester. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Great. Well, first of all, let's talk about Friday nights. Family night.
Woo!
You know, as God's church, we are His family. And I love Acts 2, 42 to 47, where it gives us a summary of the first century church. And I love where it says, they met together in each other's homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And in the spirit of that passage, Friday nights, we as a family eat together and celebrate together, enjoying the favor of each other. And we got a lot of great Friday nights planned for this semester. Typically going to start at 7 o'clock, unless noted otherwise. But this Friday is our family reunion, so some fun stuff going on there. And then we got our breakfast club party. We're going to have a handful of all New York Devos in the city. We have our encouragement war. So in the beginning of February, the brothers will face off the sisters, and we'll try to out-encourage one another. That's always a blast. Each month, there will be some family group split nights where your family group will get together and do something fun together or whatever. We're going to have an experimental kitchen at the Hughes' house. So if any of you have eaten anything that Tom Hughes has made, you know that good stuff happens when Tom gets in the kitchen. So the Hughes's are hosting our campus ministry and going to cook a bunch of cool food, and we'll have a fun experimental kitchen party there. And then we're going to have an indoor gym night. To cancel it the week before on Ed again. No. We'll have an indoor gym night, and then we'll have our annual coffee house, which is a blast. Invite the whole New Jersey region and get to see Brent Millie rock in front of everybody as his talent on stage. But you know, we use the coffee house as a fundraiser also to get to ICMC. So coffee house is great. Then we'll do an Easter egg hunt. The spirit of Easter coming up. I'm personally very excited about that. You know, we'll hide them real tough. We'll do it on campus somewhere, and it'll be a great Easter egg hunt party. And then we're going to do what we've done a few times, a 5K for Hope Worldwide. And Lord willing, we'll be able to do it on campus at William Patterson. So that'll be great. And then we'll have our end of the year gala, a banquet, and you know, whatever else happens in between. And so those are our Friday nights. Our sister Alex has put all of these on Facebook for us. So if you go on the NJCM Facebook page, all of the Friday nights are on there. So you could get those, know what's coming up ahead of time, be inviting people and planning on being there yourself. So you guys excited about this stuff? It'll be a blast. I'm excited. Just letting you know about some upcoming retreats and conferences. We have the New York, New Jersey Spring Retreat, February 25th to 26th up in White Plains. So $50, guests are $30, so get registered as soon as you can. And then we have our annual ICMC East this year coming up this summer. So, you know, this is for campus ministries across the whole country, right? And then every other year we split East Coast, West Coast. So this year is an East Coast, West Coast split conference of thousands of campus disciples from all over the East Coast. So this year there's a change. It's Friday to Monday. It's usually Thursday to Sunday. So this time it's Friday to Monday.
Okay.
And so the place that it's being hosted at wasn't available Thursday. It was available Monday. And it was a little bit cheaper that way too. So just as you're taking off work and planning and stuff, it's the same amount of days, but just shift it over a day. So Friday to Monday, and it's going to be in Asheville, North Carolina. And it's going to be really cool because it's at this huge, I don't know what to call it exactly. I guess a convention center, but it's got like basically, it's like a college campus, except it's not. But it's got dorms and everything, so everybody's going to be staying. You don't have to stay in a hotel or anything. You just, everybody is there. And you get a dorm room there. There's a huge cafeteria, and all of your food is included with that. So it's not like you're in a downtown and gotta travel around. Like the whole ICMC, everybody's gonna be together in the same place. So, and there's gonna be some activities and stuff. There's gonna be hiking. You could sign up to do whitewater rafting, and I think it'll cost extra, but like there's gonna be stuff you can do. So what's really cool too, I'll give you more info as it gets closer, but after the Sunday service, is basically all fellowship time. So the rest of Sunday and anytime you're there Monday is free time to go do that activity stuff or plan dates or whatever. There'll be a dance on Sunday night, but you know, there's no more sessions after that, if that makes sense. So that'll be Saturday, we'll have a little bit more session, but then that makes Sunday and Monday more free. So ICMC is gonna be great. Registration's open, $210. That includes your registration, your t-shirt, the room you're staying in, all of your food while you're there. So that's much cheaper than when you usually register, book a hotel, and buy all of your food while you're there. So ICMCEast.com, you can get registered for that. So those are the retreats and conferences coming up. Cool?
Yes.
Cool, I'm excited about it. Midweeks, right? We're gonna be here 7:30, and we're going to continue to study the book of Acts. I love studying out Acts 1 to 13 last semester, and I'm very excited to get back into the book of Acts together and continue to be inspired as we've studied out the way, which is what the church was called in the first century. You guys looking forward to that?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much to be inspired by from our first century brothers and sisters and the amazing things that God did through them. And to know that is not a different group than us, that is the same group. We're part of the same church, we have the same head, Jesus Christ. And what we see God doing through them could be in the same spirit of what God wants to do through us today. So I'm very excited as our theme will continue as the way, because Jesus is the way. And because Jesus is the way and we're following him and we are his body, we are the ones continuing his ministry as the way. For people to go to God today. So I'm looking forward to continue the book of Acts. So you want to get into this a little bit right now?
Yeah.
Awesome. You can open up to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to do a very, very brief recap, okay? I know we took that quiz at the end of last semester and everyone did awesome on that. And so now we know you looked over all that stuff over the winter break. So to recap, Acts chapter 1 picks off where the Gospels leave off, and Jesus gives his disciples his mission plan in Acts chapter 1, right? You guys are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then we see in Acts chapters 1 to 12 how the Gospel spreads through Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And then now in the second half of Acts, we see the gospel go to the ends of the earth. This is really where the Gentile mission field just unloads. And Jesus' plan to go to the ends of the earth really starts to unravel. You know, what we'll see in Acts chapter 13 to 28 is that there's a shift in its focus from Peter and the Jewish mission to Paul and the Gentile missions. Now, obviously, the church in Jerusalem and Judea is still going on, and they're still making disciples there, but the focus really becomes what God is doing outside of Jerusalem and outside of Judaism. And Peter goes from kind of being the center figure to Paul's life kind of being the main person that the book of Acts follows. We know that the book of Acts was written by Luke, and Luke is with Paul for most of these mission trips. So he's writing all these. You see the word we, see the word I. He's writing these as things that he was part of himself. And I think that invites us to join it as well. As we read the we get to see what we read in Acts be something that we are continuing ourselves today. You know, but what's really exciting is that what we see in Acts is the gospel is rapidly expanding. You know, it's breaking out of Jerusalem, it's breaking out of Judea, out of Samaria, and it is going to the ends of the earth. You know, we know from the whole Bible that God desperately and dearly loves all people. From all nations, languages, God loves everyone equally. You know, Jesus came to earth and paid the cost of the sins of not just some people, but of all people. Right? No matter where somebody's from, Jesus paid for the sins of all people. And now, God is working through his church to get that love, to get that salvation to every single person. First in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and what we're part of today, the ends of the earth. Amen? It's exciting. You know, God is moving his church forward through them as he is moving his church forward through us today, spreading his love, spreading his salvation to the ends of the earth. You know, Acts chapter 1 to 12, you know, it starts off strong. You know, Acts chapter 1 to 12, they face a lot of hardship, but a lot of great things happen. And what we see in Acts chapter 13 to 28 is that they just continue to grow even more. That God starts them strong and then he moves them on to even greater victories and even greater things. And I really like to believe and think that that's exactly what God wants to do through us. That God has already done some amazing things through us as a ministry and in your life personally. But he doesn't want to do great things and then the rest of your life and the rest of our ministry just kind of be all downhill from there.
Come on,
you know,
come on.
God has done great things with you. He's done great things with us. And I believe he's done that to increase our faith that he's capable of doing even more in your life and through us as his New Jersey campus ministry. You know, it was so amazing to see 15 people saved last year through our New Jersey campus ministry here. You know, God's Spirit used us to seek and save 15 lost souls, along with countless other victories, joys, and things that God has done in each one of your lives to help you grow and to help us to grow as a group. It's been very exciting. You know, in these past 7 years, I've gotten to witness God grow our New Jersey campus ministry from around 10 people. Why isn't this working? Oh. Set apart to bring him glory. That's the title of the lesson. Sorry. You know, I've gotten to witness God in this past 7 years grow our ministry from a group of about 10 people to a group of 63 disciples today. You know, this is very exciting what we get to see God doing. You know, the title of my lesson tonight is Set Apart to Bring Him Glory. And I really think that that's what we've got to really allow to sink in, is that God has set us apart as his church, as this ministry, but also set us apart individually to bring him glory. Mm. You know, and I've seen God glorified as we've grown from 10 to 63 disciples in these past few years here. And you know what's really inspiring to me is that this group became this group. And now what is this group going to become? You know, 5 years from now, what will be the picture that will be shown? What will be the lives that have been changed for eternity? It's exciting. What is happening next? That's the question. And I want you to ask, what is going to be your role in what God is unfolding? What are you going to do? What are you going to allow God to do through you? You know, I know that God has great plans to do even greater things through us this year as we continue to each love him, to follow him, and to embrace the work that he's calling us to do. As we each decide, I am set apart to bring him glory. And we decide that we are set apart to bring him glory. I totally believe that 2017 is going to be full of even greater things than we've ever seen before.
Amen?
Amen?
Come on,
let's look at Acts chapter 13, 1 to 12. Acts 13, 1 to 12 says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch." That's an interesting side note right now. We learned about Herod the Tetrarch. This was the one that put John the Baptist to death. And you've got a guy that grew up apparently friends or within close encounter and relationship with this guy, now is one of the prophets or teachers in the first century church. That's awesome. And then there's Saul, who was recently converted in Acts chapter 9. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Cyprus was a pretty large island located in the Mediterranean there. So they arrive at this island in a city on the east coast called Salamis. So when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. Now this is John Mark. So in verse 6, it continues. "They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos." This is all the way on the west coast. "There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar Jesus." Now say, this has nothing to do with Jesus, that we follow Jesus. Jesus was a common name in the first century. The term Bar means son of. So this guy is just the son of someone named Jesus. People were known by that commonly. You know, there's Simon Bar Jonah. That's Simon, the son of Jonah, right? Or even Barnabas. You know, that was a nickname given to him. His real name is Joseph. And he was given the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas, son of encouragement. So I'm just telling you that because I've wondered before, does this guy have something to do with Jesus? No, he's a false prophet and a Jewish sorcerer. So verse 7. "So there they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus." So Sergius Paulus is a proconsul in the Roman Empire, the Roman government. And he serves as the role of proconsul. "The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, 'You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun.' Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord." You know, you could get into a lot of what's going on here and learn from this experience, and definitely would encourage you to learn more about it. I mean, I think there's a lot of parallel going on here with Saul's own conversion experience. You know, him being a false prophet, essentially, right, of the Jewish faith, and then him being just smacked down by Jesus himself, stricken blind for a while, needing to be led by hand into Damascus. And now he's the one being a messenger of that to Elymas or Bar-Jesus, right? And within that is just another example of imitation of Christ, right? This is what Jesus did for Saul. Now this is what Saul is doing in a situation he sees similar. And that's what all of us just do as disciples, as we go out and as we have experiences, we look to Jesus as, what do we do? How do we handle this? And And that's exactly what Paul is doing here, is handling this situation as it was handled in his own life. But bigger picture, what is going on here? You know, we know that with Cornelius, the Gentile mission field was opened up. But we talked about how Cornelius was a God-fearer, which means, although he was not a convert to Judaism, he already believed in the God of Judaism. You know, this is a significant passage here because now this proconsul, he's Sergius Paulus, he is the first not even God-fearing Gentile to become a Christian. So now we're branching off into a whole new category of people. These people, now like Sergius Paulus, don't even know about the God of the Bible at all. Maybe they've heard of Judaism, they've heard of him. You know, so this is God just expanding now to the ends of the earth, outside of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. You know, God, in this passage and throughout the rest of Acts, God uses his church to fulfill his plan from the beginning of Genesis to redeem people from every single nation.
Amen.
You know, this has been God's plan from the beginning. You know, he tells Abraham, all nations will be blessed through your offspring, right? And now this is a continuation of that promise as they're bringing the gospel to the Gentile world, the ends of the earth. You know, now the message goes out to all Gentiles from Antioch. And the first of thousands upon thousands, not even God-fearing Gentiles, are becoming Christians. You know, this proconsul becomes a disciple of Jesus. And along with that victory is Paul's spiritual victory over this false prophet, which I think just is a testimony to the strength of God's word and the strength of the truth. You know, that as people are out there in the world or even in Christendom, teaching false Christianity, teaching perverted versions of Christianity or of the truth, that at the end of the day, when we stand firm on the word of God, it prevails,
amen,
right? And that's something that Paul had confidence in, is, look, this is the truth and what you're teaching is not the truth.
Amen.
And that's something we could have confidence in, is we have the word of God and this is the truth, not what somebody else is teaching that contradicts that.
Yeah.
Right, so that's an amazing victory there. What I want to really focus on from this passage tonight is where it says that in verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And you know, the work to which he called them was a work that was inspiring, a work that brought so much glory, praise, and honor to God. You know, these guys were set apart for incredible work to God's glory. You know, that's something I think we could all leave here tonight really taking to heart, is that God has set apart his church as a special and chosen people that get to be in a relationship with him.
Come on.
And because we're in a relationship with him and we are his special chosen people, we're also set apart to do his will and to bring him glory. That we, out of all of the people in the world, we have been selected and chosen by God to bring him glory. Set apart to do some good work for him that he's prepared in advance for us to do. You know, out of all the people in the world, 7 billion and counting, right? Out of all the people of the world, out of all the groups, out of all the organizations, out of all the companies and all the clubs that exist, we are God's people.
Amen.
And no matter how much money some company might have, no matter how much success some group might have, or how much acclaim any group can have, only God's church can say we are God's special possession.
Yeah.
And that is a claim for us to take to heart and be super encouraged by. I am God's. We are God's. And to let that be inspiring,
yeah,
to our lives. You know, God has called me, chosen me, and set me apart. You know, he's calling us to become a beacon of light to a world shrouded in darkness. You know, we are the carriers of truth in a very confused world.
Mm-hmm.
We get to be the light. We get to be the truth through the Spirit living within us. You know, as we see here, God has given us his Spirit to direct us and to empower us with all we need to get the job done.
Yeah.
He says, I'm setting apart these two for the work I've chosen to do them. And then you just see them rely on the Spirit. The Spirit's the one that called them to it. The Spirit's the one that they were filled with to do it, right? And God has called us and filled us with his Spirit to go and do the work he set us apart for as well, and to bring him glory. You know, to read a couple of passages to you guys that I think are very inspiring. John 17, verse 15 and 18, in a prayer that Jesus prayed for us and his people. He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." You know, this is inspiring. Jesus is praying for us. Isn't that encouraging? Yeah. Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for you to be sanctified by the truth. Sanctified, to be made more holy, right? To be made more like Jesus. And he says here, look, my people are not of this world. They live in it, but they are not of it. I have set them apart. So we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Yet, I am sending them into the world just like you sent me into the world. So just like Jesus was sent, now we're sent, not to be of the world, but to be in it and to be a light to it as well. You know, we're set apart to bring God glory as we go into the world. You know, in Philippians 2, 12 to 16 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." You know, it's important that no matter who's around or what group we're with, that whether we're in each other's presence or Paul as a leader here saying, when I was in your presence, whether I'm in your presence or not, you've always obeyed. And even more so when you weren't in our presence. You know, wherever you go, whoever you're with, whoever you're around, you are a light to obey Jesus there, right? And then here, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." How amazing is that? You know, God has a will to use you for his purpose, and he is the one working in you to do that as we let him, right? Verse 14, super challenging. "Do everything without grumbling or complaining or arguing." Right? Do everything without arguing, grumbling, or complaining. No, that's a challenge right there. And I think we've all got to think about that a little bit. Be a little bit more in touch with how quick we can be to complain or to argue or to grumble. You know, and be in touch with that. Be in touch with our attitude about different things or perspectives about what's going on. We need to remember, look, we are in a fallen world, but we are not of it, right? So we don't need to behave or have the attitudes that people in a fallen world have. We get to have the attitude of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, right? And the rest of the fruits of the Spirit as we allow God to fulfill that within us. Amen. Right? But do everything without grumbling or complaining or arguing. So that, what's the goal of that? If we do that, if we are people in this world who don't grumble, who don't complain, who don't argue, what would be the result of that? It says, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Isn't that a beautiful picture? It says that as you follow Jesus, as you obey the message, as you are blameless and pure children of God, it says that you will shine among this crooked and warped generation like when you see the stars in a bright night sky. Now, God is saying that is what you look like in this world when you follow me, as we hold firmly to the word of life. And that's what we need. The word of God is an anchor for us. And we do need to hold on to the word of God every day in our lives to be our daily food, guiding us. But I love this passage that says that we're shining like stars in this world, right? And that's something that we could take to heart, is I'm set apart to shine like a star in this fallen world. You know, and that's what each of you are. Each of you are a star in this fallen world, shining with the light of God inside of you. Amen? Amen. You know, part of the work that God has set us apart to do as a New Jersey campus ministry, God has set us apart and called us to the work of saving the souls of around 200,000 lost college students in northern New Jersey. Come on, man. Isn't that inspiring?
Yes.
200,000 college students in North Jersey. That's more people than in most cities. You know, this is a lot of people. And God has chosen us to be the light on these college campuses to all of these people. You know, each and every Bible talk is a bright light to that campus. And I want to encourage you to view yourselves as that way, as a Bible talk, as a group of disciples on campus. view yourselves as we are the beacon of light to the people here, to bring God to them. You know, God has set us apart to the task of bringing his love and grace to as many people as we can, to reach the ends of the earth of our college campuses. And how inspiring to know that one day God wants us to have Bible talks on every single one of these schools. Is that exciting? You know, I think we're well on our way to seeing that happen. You know, I think we could do this as we work with God and as we work with each other. You know, he didn't set apart Barnabas by himself or Saul by himself. He set apart Barnabas and Saul together. And then it notes that John was with them as their helper. And the truth is there was probably other people along with their crew as well. But, you know, they can't go on mentioning everybody. So Acts tends to mention people that were brought up already or will be brought up again, you know. So you've got a team of people working on this. And this is something we've got to work together to do. And that's why we have in our campus ministry, that's why we have family groups, that's why we have Bible talks, is because we've really got to decide that we're going to pair up into smaller groups and conquer this, right? That we're going to say we've been set apart to be a light to these places. So let's team up and let's go do this, right? So we know that not all of those guys mentioned were chosen for this particular mission trip, right? But the guys that weren't chosen, they were still used for something else. So as a ministry, this is our job, but we're broken up into smaller groups so we can divide and conquer, right? So we've got our family groups, and I love our family groups. We've got Montclair family group and William Patterson and Bergen and the Newark family group. And, you know, it's been awesome to see these groups growing and expanding. And, you know, within a family group is, a family group is essentially a group of Bible talks from one or various colleges, right? So a family group is a group of Bible talks from one school or multiple schools. And I just want to kind of go over Bible talks for the semester briefly here. But I hope that you're inspired by understanding that as a Bible talk, you've been set apart to bring glory to God by being a light to your campus. Amen? So that's what the Bible talks are for. So within the family groups, we've got our Bible talks. And I do want to talk about a new for us Bible talk mentality of what it means to be a Bible talk and what it means to be in a Bible talk. I did not grow up in the church, so the culture of Bible talks was something I was not familiar with. So it's been a learning and process type of thing, as all things are. So we're really, as our ministry is growing, a family group used to just be like its own little group. But now a family group, whether it's Newark or Montclair, for example, are over like around 20 people. And it's getting hard to view that as one small group because it's not a small group anymore. Right? So these family groups need to kind of be broken down into smaller groups called Bible talks. This is the concept of a house church in the Bible or small groups in the church. We're just calling them Bible talks because we're a group that let the Bible talk to us, right? And we use the Bible to talk to each other. So the Bible talks. And we let the Bible talk. Let the Bible talk. Think about that. So here's kind of how I want to encourage you guys to view your Bible talk. View your Bible talk like this is my spiritual family, amen. Right? The whole ministry, the whole church is your spiritual family. But, you know, in Deuteronomy, you know, God instructs God's people to be broken down into groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, right? And the Bible talks are really like the groups of tens so that everybody's needs can be met. So your Bible talk is going to be a set group that you're part of, and you're focused on A, reaching out to the lost together, and B, helping each other to be closer to God and to grow spiritually and to love and meet each other's needs. Right? So the Bible talk, don't think Bible talk is just that 20, 30 minute discussion once a week. Right? That's something the Bible talk does. But your Bible talk is like your small group, your family. And, you know, you view those people as, okay, I'm going to keep in touch with these people. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Really, we'll go share our faith together. And, you know, that is how a Bible talk can be viewed. Not, and they'll have the discussion, the Bible talk discussion. But beyond that, it's a set group. I'm excited about that. And this is really imitating what's worked well in other larger campus ministries as we're getting bigger. And, you know, I think long run, there's a lot of advantages to this, you know. For example, each Bible talk will have a set, you know, guy and girl leader for them. And they'll really be focused on meeting the needs and taking care of those, you know, 5 to 12 people or whatever that are in the Bible talk. And yeah, so you've got the guy leader and the girl leader, and then instead of when we're trying to plan the Bible talks, it being this thing where there's 20-something people crammed in the kitchen. Who's free Wednesday at 1? Me, not me. All right, that doesn't work. 2 o'clock. No, 3. We're not doing it like that anymore. Okay, it's just not working. So, you know, you'll be in a Bible talk, and your Bible talk will be the ones figuring out when can we meet for the discussion together, right? Rather than the whole family group meeting up and trying to figure that out, and then discerning Bible talks from there. And then when the next semester rolls around, you know, those two people are still leading that same Bible talk, and for the most part, probably it will be all the same people in that Bible talk again. You know, unless the Bible talk has grown to now need to be 2 Bible talks, or, you know, there's some reason to shift or rearrange if one group is too small and another's too big or something like that. But that would be cool because you'll go from one semester to the next, kind of getting closer and closer to this small group of people on your campus or the other campuses nearby you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that'll kind of have continuity from one semester to the next. So these Bible talks will essentially stay the same unless you transfer schools or move around or something like that. One of the hopes and goals of the Bible talk is to grow and then to multiply, you know? So each Bible talk should have people in it that are thinking and getting trained to think, I could be a Bible talk leader one day. So that as that group grows to 15, 16 people, it could become 2 Bible talks. And then each of those groups will grow to be that many, and then that could become 4 Bible talks, you know? So the idea of these groups is to grow and then to split and start new Bible talks. Obviously, one day we want to have Bible talks at every college, so in order to get there, we're going to need people that maybe stay after for grad school or graduate but decide, hey, I want to be involved in campus for another year or two and maybe help start a Bible talk somewhere where there's only one disciple or 2 disciples or no disciples. Or if you are the only disciple or there's only a couple of you at your school and there is no Bible talk, you know, maybe take an hour a week and say, hey, let's just go share together and see if we could find somebody to study the Bible with. And I think you'd be amazed at what God would do through that heart to really try to save people and build something at your school. So I hope that all makes sense to you. Feel free to ask me more questions if you feel like you don't understand it. But basically, a Bible talk is not just that discussion. This is like your family group now. Although a family group is kind of a bigger group of Bible talks and stuff technically. So this is your Bible talk. I encourage you to know who leads your Bible talk, know who else is in it with you, pray for each other, and figure out how you guys can work together to help one another to grow. Definitely want to encourage you to be super devoted to your Bible talk and helping each other grow and helping reach out to people together. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Something I'm super excited about is we're going to start a new Bible talk this semester. So the Newark Family Group is rebooting our Seton Hall Bible Talk. So we're going to be starting a women's Bible Talk at Seton Hall. And I'm very excited about this. I want to go through with you briefly just all the Bible Talks we have, and then we're going to have Seton Hall come up here and pray for them quick. So here's our Bible Talks for the semester. At Montclair, we have 2 Bible talks, okay?
Yes.
So Matt and Marie are leading one, and then Shauna Lewin is leading a women's Bible talk. And then at Bergen, we have 1 Bible talk that Kyrie and Simone are leading. At William Batterson, we have 1 Bible talk that will very soon be 2 Bible talks that Mark and Brielle are leading. It's a big one. And then at Newark, there's the Rutgers Bible talk co-led by Manny and Brent and Shauna. And then the new Bible talk at Seton Hall, led by Hannah Baker. So this is going to be very exciting. So let's get our handful of Seton Hall Bible Talk people to stand up here and let's pray for them. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
If the shoe fits.
Awesome.
So let's pray for our Seton Hall Bible Talk. God, it's so exciting all that you've done and all that you are doing. God, we know that your Spirit is with us and setting us apart to do great things through us. God, thank you for calling each one of us to follow you and for this incredible mission you've given us to reach our ends of the earth, which is all of these college campuses. God, we know that on each of them are people that you died for and that you love dearly. And God, we pray especially right now for Seton Hall University.
Yeah.
God, there are around 10,000 college students at Seton Hall University. God, and you have hand-selected and chosen these sisters, God, to be the lights on campus there. God, I pray that you be with each of them, that they will cling to you. God, that they will be spiritually in touch with your spirit, God, that they will be really deeply devoted and connected to each other, that they'll really lock arms as they are right now every single day, God, to pray for each other, to share their faith together, to encourage one another, to help each other. Yeah. And God, I pray that you use them to bring lost souls back home to you. Yeah. God, I pray that there are sons and daughters of yours that you right now know about, that they're going to reach out to, that will be part of your family this semester, this year. God, be with them in a special way. God, I just pray that you would help each of us to inspire them, to encourage them, to pray for them as we do our own Bible talks and look forward to seeing what you do. We love you. Thank you so much for this exciting time to start this new Bible talk at Seton Hall. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. How cool would it be if every semester we're starting a Bible talk at a new school, right? Let's be praying for that. You be getting a vision for your campus and starting a Bible talk there. It's very exciting. Pray for the Seton Hall Bible talk and all the others. You know, I think, you know, I want to just point out that we as a group are set apart. We as a group are set apart for the work of being a light to all these colleges, right? And to being a light to the world. So as a group, we're set apart for a task that God has called us to.
Amen.
But I want to close out just encouraging you that not only are we set apart as a group, but each one of us is set apart individually for some work that God has prepared in advance for us to do. All right, so I want you to be encouraged. Wow, what are we going to do? But also, God, what are you going to do with me?
Yeah.
You know, God, what are you going to do through me? As the entire church is set apart from the world, so too is each member of the body of Christ set apart for their own significant and unique role. I think you've got to take that to heart. God, you called me for something unique and something special. You know, there's a role in the church that only you can play, gifts that only you have, things that only you can do, people that are only in your sphere of influence and that only you're going to walk by and that only you're going to have class with, right? So there's ways that God is calling you specifically to be the light. You know, they named Barnabas and Saul the work that God chose for them to do, right? Set apart for the work to which I have called them, right? And by name, Barnabas and Saul were set apart. And by name, when God thinks about you, what has he set you apart to do? You know, the church, unified under the lordship of our head, Jesus, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, you've got to know that God has set you apart to do something that will bring him glory. Now I want to read to you Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. This is what God said to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, now I want you to view this as the word of the Lord coming to you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah.
You know, it's very clear that there was a specific role and task and work that Jeremiah was called to fill that God set him specifically apart for. And he played his role in building God's kingdom and obeying God and bringing God glory. But these words are as true for us as they were for him. Maybe not the specific application, right, of exactly where he was going to go and the people he was going to talk to. But what does apply to us, as it applied to him, is that before we were formed, God had a specific role, plan, and vision that he set you specifically apart for. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen.
In chapter 4, verse 16 of Ephesians says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, these passages tell me that it's not just some people that God has prepared things that he wants to do through them with, but it's every one of his people.
Amen.
You know, God has prepared in advance works for every one of us to do.
Come on,
you know, things that he wants to do through us individually to bring him glory.
Yeah.
You know, from the womb, God has set you apart for something great that he is calling all of us to do that's going to bring him glory through our lives. I just want you to think about that for a second. All the way back to when you were just first conceived in your mother's womb, God was paying special attention to you. And it says here, I knew you. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So God knew you all the way back even before you existed. And it says all the way back then, he says, I set you apart. You know, out of all the people in the world, I set you apart for this. Right? I love everybody. I show no favoritism, but I do treat each person with my favor, right? And God has favor for you that he set you apart for something unique and individual for only you to do with your life, to bring him glory. Isn't that inspiring? You know, he set you apart to be a light to the world, someone whose life would be used to bring him glory. You know, so we know that God has set you apart for something special. My question for you tonight is, what has God set you apart to do? What is it? What will you allow God's Spirit to do through you? You know, what is God calling you to do? Is he called Barnabas and Saul to go to Cyprus and then to go elsewhere from there? What specifically is God calling you to do? You know, there's so many different roles. There's so many different ways that we can bring glory to God. And I think each one of us can really take encouragement and ownership of God. What are you going to do through me? And I would encourage you to pull together some people that you can work together with on this, just like Paul and Barnabas did. You know, I would encourage you to think about it. Think, what do you want to see God do through you this semester? What do you want to see God do through you with your life? I would encourage you to pray about it, but also to fast about it. You know, it says, while they were fasting, God spoke to them and set them apart. And then it says, after they prayed and fasted, right? So, you know, we got to fast and we got to ask God, God, please show me what you've set me apart for. What do you want to do with me and to use my life for? How can I bring you glory? You know, I encourage you to ask that question often. God, how can I bring you glory? God, what is something I could do to bring you glory? Because he deserves it so much. God, how can I bring you glory? You know, the early church was led by the Spirit to bring glory to God. They relied on God so much. You know, it says they were fasting, they were worshiping, they're praying. You know, it says Paul was filled with the Spirit when he answered to Bar Jesus, right? I mean, this was a church that relied so much, not on themselves, but on Jesus and on God's power. You know, and that's what we need to be, is people who are praying, fasting, worshiping God, you know, and really relying on God so that we could see what he's capable of doing through us. You know, if we're going to fulfill God's vision for us individually, and as a group, we need to be deeply reliant on him. You know, the Spirit, like it is here in this passage in Acts 13, needs to be before what we do, during what we do, and after what we do, right? Just really bringing the Spirit into all that we do, moving us, supporting us, and filling us. You know, we're not going to have a big group goal to start off this semester like we did in the fall. But what I'd like you to ask you to do is, right now or tonight, is to pray and think about some challenge or goal that you have for yourself. You know, it could be an amount of people you want to share with. It could be, I want to share with one person in each class. It could be, I want to pray on the phone with a different disciple every day for the next 2 weeks. It could be just some goal or challenge that you think will bring glory to God, right? And really pray about it, though. God, what's something I could do that would bring glory to you? So instead of having a big group goal, I'm just encouraging each of you to decide on your own something that you'd want to do that you believe will bring glory to God through you. Does that make sense? I encourage you to write it down and then to go for it, to get help from other people as you go for it. And then maybe a couple midweeks from now, instead of good news sharing or for good news sharing, people could stand up and go, you know, I wanted to bring God glory by sharing my faith with five family members, and I did it, you know, and here's what happened, you know, or I wanted to share with 200 people in one day, and I went for it, and it was tough, but I did it, you know, or whatever it is that you want to do to bring glory to God, you come up with your own challenge, your own goal, and you go for it. But definitely pull somebody else in, like Paul and Barnabas were paired up, and go at this together, or with your whole Bible talk, or whatever you want to do, but... I just wanted, you might have been wondering, hey, do we have some big kickoff goal? Yes and no. We're not having a big group one, but you do your own. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. And you can come up with it yourself. So that's exciting. You know, but leave here tonight knowing that each day, every single day, God has set you apart to bring Him glory. Right? God has work that is there for, that He has prepared to do through you that will bring Him glory. And I want to know what honor will be brought to God through you? You know, what way will God be honored through you? What praise will be lifted up to God through us as His New Jersey campus ministry? And I really want to encourage you to leave tonight decided that you're going to wholeheartedly rely on God and obey God's call of whatever it is that He set you apart to do individually, and that we're going to work together to bring God glory as His New Jersey campus ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close out in song together.